The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Did Jesus want to avoid the cross or not? What was he praying in Gethsemane? What was he asking his Father to do? A challenging episode just ahead here on Grace in Focus. Thank you for being here today. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Our website is faithalone.org. You can find many articles that we've written there, free ebooks, and also resources that you can buy, a free magazine subscription, and a description of our regional conferences. Please go there today, faithalone.org. Now, with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
And we're
marching through Mark,
coming towards the end of the book. And what we're trying to do
I have enjoyed this.
Trying to say, man, we hope this just spurs people on to study the gospel and get the commentary that we're going to be hopefully producing.
And you know, Ken, that most churches never look at the gospels. I mean, most churches look at the epistles. They don't treat the Old Testament. They don't treat Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they don't treat the book of Revelation. No. All of Scripture is inspired by God and profitable, and especially the Gospels are a blessing. And in the case of the Gospels, what did you call your training in discipleship?
Lessons in discipleship. I take this book to be teaching us the cost of following Christ. And of course, most people in Christianity don't see the difference between being a believer and being a disciple. And
right.
Mark is about what it means to be a disciple and the costliness of that.
Right.
And there's very, very, very little in Mark telling an unbeliever how to have eternal life.
Well, in fact, I think the case could be made. Bob Bryant spoke at our conference on this one time, that although you can find a few places in Matthew, Mark, and Luke where if you already know the saving message from John, you can kind of see it there.
Right.
If you don't already know the saving message, you're not going to find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
I agree
with
him.
You're going to get confused.
I agree with him.
Yeah.
And that's why, by the way, when people do use Matthew, Mark, and Luke in an evangelistic way, they
end up with work salvation.
Work salvation.
Or discipleship salvation.
Sure, because they don't see the distinction between it.
Well, in fact, don't most people in Christianity say following Christ is another name for believing in
Absolutely.
Christ. And discipleship is another name for, or being a disciple is another name for being born again.
And that's the importance of this study. Well, there's a lot of importance of studying the book of Mark. What does he expect of me as a believer if I'm going to be a disciple? And also to make sure I get the message of eternal life clear, I go to the Gospel of John.
Right. I don't go to Mark.
Right. We're now
in, and we're almost in chapter 16, and we do get a little hint there, but even that's confusing, so we'll
sure.
talk about
that. Sure. Well, even in Mark 16, as we're going to see people talk about works.
They
you know?
Do.
Oh, yeah. You got to be baptized.
Oh, yeah. The churches of Christ love to use Mark 16
right.
for baptism.
Well, here in Mark chapter 14, Bob and I are stalling because
we're about to talk about the question, did Jesus want to avoid the cross?
Yeah, this
and
is
Gethsemane, right? We're going to talk about Gethsemane right after the upper room discourse, which Zane calls the final discourse. They sing some songs, they pray, then they go out to Gethsemane, and Jesus takes Peter, James, and John off a bit from the other disciples, and he says, "You watch while I'm praying." And then Jesus is praying, and that's what we're looking at in what, verses 32 to 36 of Mark 14?
Yes, we see that as Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, he does pray. And what we want to focus on is verse 36. And he said...
Yeah, 36 is, I think, one of the most discussed, but I think least understood verses in the Passion narrative.
Right. In verse 36, here's what Jesus prays. Abba, Father.
Which we know from Romans 16 means something like daddy,
sure.
Father. It's a, it's
an
a,
intimate,
a, intimate
title.
Term of love and intimacy.
I remember reading that there's no example of that, for example, of a Jewish writer referring to God in this way.
Right. They wouldn't even use the name of God.
Right.
They would say Adonai instead of Yahweh.
Right. And so this is a very intimate title with Jesus, with his Father here. And
we call this prayer, but he's talking to his Father.
Right.
Which is not his Father in the way we think of Father, because the Godhead is beyond our comprehension, which is one being, but three persons. So in one sense, he's talking to the Father. In another sense, he's talking to himself, right? I mean, it's not himself. We're not modalists. The Father's a different person. But what I mean is he is talking to deity.
Sure.
And he himself is deity. And the Holy Spirit's deity.
Right.
So when he's praying, he's doing what we do, but the difference is for him, this is something that's been going on for all of eternity as the members of the Godhead talk with each other.
Right. And what is it that he prays here? What he prays is, he says, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
Okay, now how is that normally understood? If you were to go to most churches where there was a sermon on this on Sunday morning, how would they explain this? What is Jesus asking the Father to do?
Yes, I think probably a lot of our listeners, maybe all of our listeners, would answer that the same way. They understand the way this is normally understood, that as Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and he knows the cross is just a few hours away, he says, take this cup away from me.
Meaning, let me not go to the cross.
Let me not go to the cross.
Send somebody else or do it some other way.
Right.
But he's willing.
Right.
So he says,
but not my will, but thy will. In other words, I don't want to do it, but I'll do it if you don't change your mind.
Right.
Or something like
that.
But
if there is some other way, please do that.
Right. And people point out that the Greek construction here is that this is a possibility, by the way. Take this cup from me. If
right.
possible, take this cup from me. So it is it's not like something that's impossible.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying, okay, this is a possibility. I want you to do this. Take this cup from me. Keep me from the cross. But if you're not willing to do that, then I'll do your will.
Now, a lot of people, what they say is that Jesus, being both God and man, had two separate wills, a human will and a divine will, that the human will and the divine will could diverge so that the human will could be in opposition to the divine will. And that's what they see here, right?
Right.
That the human will is willing to go to the cross, but does not want to go to the cross.
Even though he knows that that's the Father's will, right?
Right. His divine will does want to go to the cross.
Right.
So what you have is Jesus having a split personality here, and he's saying, I don't want to go to the cross, but if that's the only way, I'll do it because I know that's your will.
But it's even a step further than that. He's asking his Father to change his will.
Yeah, ultimately, that's what's meant, right?
Right.
Now, we ran an article, and you're the editor of our journal, by Dr. Craig Blazing. I remember when I was at Dallas Seminary, I heard his view on this passage. And
right.
we got permission to reprint it.
Right.
What is Dr. Blazing's view of what Jesus was saying?
His view is that Jesus is not saying, here's your will, and I don't want to do it. His view is that Jesus has the same will of the Father. When he says, not my will, but thy will, what he's saying is, this is not my will, it's your will. I agree with you.
Well, I think I'd go a step further. He's saying, this is my will, but we're not going to do it because it's my will.
Right.
It's because it's your will.
Right.
And in other words, he's seeing Jesus' will in sync with the Father's will, not distinct.
Yes. And so when he says, take this cup from me, Blazing goes back to some Old Testament passages where he just says, drinking the cup is God's wrath being poured out in judgment. And Jesus is saying, let this cup pass through me. Let me drink the cup. This isn't just my will. It's your will.
Right.
So we're in agreement.
And by the way, Why would that make sense? Well, the other way, what you've got to do is you've got to say Jesus, in some sense, does not want to do what the Father wants him to do.
And he's asking the Father to change his will.
And remember what he says on the cross, it is finished?
Mm-hmm.
Don't we call that the finished work of Christ?
Right.
So he's wanting to avoid the finished work.
But it's even more than that. Before that, he says, it is written, I have to go.
Right.
I have to go to the cross.
So doesn't he know that?
Right. So now he's saying, well, I know it's written, but change your mind.
Okay. So let's go back a week, approximately a week. John chapter 12 is a week before Jesus goes to the cross. In John 12, 27, he says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. He's already told them, and we've been saying this all through Mark, that I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be mistreated, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again, right?
And it must be that way.
And it must be that way. And then he says, 6 days before, or 7 days before, shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? Of course not. For this reason I came. Now we're trying to interpret this verse in Mark 14 that Jesus is saying, wait a minute, I've changed my mind.
And he's also saying that the Father can change his mind. Even all along,
he's been saying, anyway.
All along, he said, it's written. This is God's will.
So look at it this way. If the only way for God's wrath to pass is by drinking the cup, when Jesus says, let this cup pass from me, he's saying, let me drink it.
That's right.
Because
that's
the only way it can pass. He knows that there's none of the disciples can die for the sin of the world. Nobody else can die for the sins of the world. And that there's no other way that the world can be made savable. So in what universe could Jesus be saying, let me avoid the cross?
And
I know a lot of people say it that way.
Right. Bob and I are challenging the majority of you
and,
here.
And many of you may be sitting there going, these guys, they're off their rocker. But I would challenge you this. Pray about it. Because in my view, Jesus' humanity is perfect humanity and always has been. His deity is full deity. And the God-man is one person, not two people. And his human will never diverges from his divine will.
And I would also add that in the Gospel of Mark, which is on discipleship, he's given us an example of discipleship here in this, that we remain steadfast to God's word. Because what Jesus is saying is, this is your will, and I agree with you. And that's the way the disciple should be.
Amen.
In suffering. Think about it as Bob says. In the meantime, remember,
keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus. It's free by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, we hear from a centurion who has just experienced Christ's last breath. That's next time. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.